Good morning. It's good to be back with you guys here at Willow Avenue. I'm thankful for another opportunity to stand before you and to speak this morning. I had a meeting last week, had a good meeting. Some of you came out. I really appreciate that. But it's good to be back home. When I was trying to decide what I wanted to talk about for this morning, my wife told me, she said, preach on something encouraging, preach on something uplifting. And I think what she's saying is I preached too many hard lessons. So she was getting on me. I knew I'd knock that over. She was getting on to me and telling me to preach something a little more uplifting. But I agree. I think it's something that we need. It seems that life has been a series of bad news lately, doesn't it? I mean, it's just things over and over and over again. Well, we've got some dear friends that I wish you guys would pray for. Tammy Crockett. Same age as me. We got the same anniversary, her and her husband Jamie, and been friends for years. She's 42 years old. She was found out the other day that she's eat up with cancer. Her back was hurting, and she just thought she'd hurt her back. Went to the doctor finally, and bad news. We've got a neighbor, Joanne Garrison. Yesterday, she had surgery. I mean, just lives, I can see her house from my house. Went to church with her at Zion for 7 years. She had surgery yesterday and died from complications of that surgery. You know, mid-60s, a Christian. Her daughter, Angie and Alan Byers, they used to come here on Wednesdays when we had Way Day before all this pandemic, and they sat right back there. But good people. Just seems like all around us there's trouble, isn't it? And we could go into far more detail, and you guys know I don't have to explain to you, but we just are surrounded by things that make us be down and out and have sorrow and just anxieties and worries. And I don't know about you, I long for rest. I long to come to a place in my life, a point to where all of those things don't matter. And I know that place is going to be after my life and after your life. But this morning, we are still living. We're still here on earth. But we desire peace. We want to come to that place to where we can have that rest and we can understand that everything is going to work out in the end. And there's only one place to go to find that. I appreciate Bo reading that scripture just a moment ago. A very familiar passage where Jesus says, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon me, on you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And when you think about that scripture should give us hope as New Testament Christians. It should build us up in our faith. And what I want to do this morning is I want to break down that scripture. I want us to break this down and phrase by phrase, and I hope it will help us to better understand what He's saying. I hope it will help us to realize what is in Jesus Christ, to realize the peace, the rest, the comfort, the immense amount of blessings that He offers. Because sometimes I feel like that we just kind of take it for granted. Or sometimes maybe we don't take it to what we should take it. We don't take for granted what is there right before us, and we don't use it to His full ability. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, Ephesians 3 verse 20. And sometimes we don't take advantage of that. We need to understand that He is offering something here to people that are willing to come to Him. So let's look at that first. The first thing He says is, come unto me. And I also underline all. Jesus, this is the grandest invitation that has ever been offered. You imagine you get in the mail this card, and it's inviting you to this great event. This event that you do not want to miss. What is the event that He's inviting them to? Well, go back just a little bit in Matthew chapter 11, if you still got your Bibles open. Jesus has dealt with John the Baptist. He has dealt with all of these people that He's going around to these cities. He has dealt with people that have rejected Him, and He has done so much good. And he comes to verse 25, and he says, "At that time Jesus answered and said," he says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." Lord, I'm thankful that this thing is above the wisdom of men, and you have chosen to reveal it through us to these people that are willing to receive it. He says, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father." In other words, God's given all authority. God has given everything into the hands of Jesus. He says, "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Do you realize what Jesus is offering is to reveal the Father unto us, is to reveal the way unto us, is to reveal salvation and rest and hope and all of those things. He's saying, "Come to me." He says, "I'm the only one that has the power to do that." Jesus is revealing unto us here. He's offering this thing, and it's not just for a select group of people. He says, "Come unto me all." You know, Titus 2 verse 11 says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto American people," right? Or just white people, or just whatever. No. He says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." And Jesus here is inviting, and he's saying, "Come unto me, everybody." He says, "I don't want to leave anybody out. I don't want to leave anybody behind." He says, "I am offering you this invitation to get to know the Father." You know, he said in John 14, verse 6, "No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says, "I'm the only way that you're going to get there. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But you've got to RSVP. You've got to let me know you're coming." This is not something that you can wait around and until this grand event happens. No. This is something you've got to decide on your own. You've got to have a fervent desire in your heart to come to me and to want to be a part of me. And the things that I can offer you are abundant above measure. And we need to take that. We need to take advantage of that. We need to have that to be of great importance to us in our lives. He goes on to say, my clicker's not working. You guys may have to change that for me. He goes on to say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." I want you to think about that just for a second. I want you to think about your life and how I began talking today. I told you some things that are heavy, right? I told you some things that are weighing people down, but as we look around at our life, isn't there a lot? I mean, does it seem like that it's just a constant burden is placed upon our shoulders and sometimes it seems too much to bear? Go on to the next slide. I found this picture. Apparently this is not going to work. I found this picture. And sometimes this is how it appears to us that our life is, right? We're trying to climb those steps. We're trying to ascend to the place that Jesus wants us to be, but sometimes it seems like so many things are dragging us down and weighing us down, and sometimes we can't seem to let those things go. And the Bible says something about that, right? Doesn't it say in Hebrews 12, "Wherefore we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the what? The weight. The things that are holding us back." And what are some of those things? Well, just look from this chapter. I mean, it's number one list of the things that are holding us back is sin. And maybe today there's people in this audience and you've not come to Jesus and you're holding back. And what's holding you back is sin in your life. It's an overbearing weight. It's something that fills us with so much guilt. And even myself, when I do things that I know I shouldn't do, and man, I feel so hollow inside, and I feel so guilty, and it just, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. And all of us feel that from time to time. And that sin holds us back. Doubt holds us back. In this very chapter, One of the first things that's mentioned is John the Baptist calls to the followers of Jesus and says, "Hey, is this really the guy? I've been looking for him, and now John's in prison. He's going to be beheaded, and he's filled with doubts. Can you imagine that? I mean, John the Baptist has seen what this guy has to say, what this guy can do. John the Baptist had the opportunity to baptize Jesus, and now he's filled with doubts. He had something holding him back. He had a heavy burden, a weight upon his shoulders, and unbelief. You go on down through the chapters, and the Bible says Jesus, as he was going into the cities of his disciples, and he's trying to convert more people, and he's telling them the things of the kingdom, but man, it's not what they wanted to hear. And unbelief is an unbelievable burden on their back, and it's holding them down. But you know, you could go on through and you can look. Poverty held people back. Poverty today still holds people back, and Jesus would go to those people and he would say, I'll help you. I will give you something in your life to give you a purpose. When I've been to these third world countries on mission trips, and these people actually find Jesus Christ and they become Christians, even though they are literally dirt floor poor, now they have something to live for. Now they have purpose in their life, and that's who Jesus is calling for. Jesus is calling out to the people that are sick, and go back through his life and your thoughts and see, who did he search out? He wanted to help people. Come unto me, all of you that are sick, all of you that have got diseases and all of these things, and I want to help you. He called out to people that are grieving with loss. He called out to people that are suffering with so many things in their life and had so much to worry about. And look at what Jesus has done for people. But I want you to think about all of these things. These things that I'm talking about are motivations. The first thing he says is, I want you to come. But I want you today, and Jesus wants you today, to use these things to motivate you to want something better. All of these things are those burdens, those weights on our back, and he wants us to want something better, something that's not going to weigh us down. We should desire that help that he is willing and able to offer. Go on to the next slide, please. He says, if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. Go on to the next one. What does he mean? What does he mean? Oh yeah, all of those things are there. All of those things are there, and we want those things gone, but how are we going to get rid of them? Well, the only way is to come to Jesus. You know, the Bible says, Psalm 55, verse 22, if we'll give our burdens to the Lord, he'll do what? He'll take care of us. He will help to deal with those things. He will give us a sense of strength and an ability to overcome and to endure all the things that we face. In fact, I want you to think about something. Jesus says, I will give you rest. You can't find this kind of peace and comfort anywhere else. You can't go to a Books a Million and find a book that's going to help you to get through all of this. You've got to come to Christ. He's the only way. He says, I will give this unto you. He says, I'll give it to you. I want you to turn to John chapter 1 with me just for a moment. John chapter 1, and I want us to see what the Bible says here about Jesus. I want us to understand that even though he says he will give that to us, it still stems from we've got a responsibility to come and to take it. It's not just something that we can just sit around and wait for. It's not just something that we can pray for. It's something we're going to have to put effort and energy into to gain that rest, that peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. In John chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible here, John speaking of Jesus, he says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Most people rejected him, and most people didn't want him, and even today the same holds true. But verse 12, but as many as received him, as many as come to Him, if you will. The Bible says, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Do you realize that? Jesus Christ is offering that grand invitation for you to come, and when you come, He will give you the ability to become His child. He will give you the ability to be granted all of those spiritual blessings that are found in that covenant relationship with Him. Ephesians 1 verse 3. And only Jesus can do that. Jesus can give us that rest. That rest that we so desire from all of those things, all of that guilt that weighs us down. And He can even grant us that eternal rest. Revelation 14 verse 13. If we will only come to Him and be faithful, that's why Revelation 14, 13 says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Jesus is the only one that can offer this unto you. Go on to the next slide, please. He says, but if you want to get this, there's something you got to do. He says, you want to come to Me. You're weary and you're heavy laden. You've got so much things on your back that you don't know what to do. He says, here's how you got to take it. He says, you've got to put My yoke on. You've got to put My yoke on. And when you do that, then you've got to learn of Me. Go to the next slide, please. I found this picture. And I thought this picture was exactly the point that I'm trying to make. Jesus says, come unto Me. You put My yoke on. And what that yoke does is it ties you to Me. You're here, and God or Jesus says, I'm here. And we are working together. Jesus says, I'll do My part, but you've got to do your part too. And what's My part? Go to the next slide. My part, He says, is to learn of Me. Jesus says, I want you to be able to remove those burdens from your back. I want you to live a happy and blessed life. I want you to have a peace that is beyond your comprehension. I want you to be filled with love. I want you to be able to have good relationships with people around you. But the only way that you will ever have that is you've got to come to Me. You've got to become a New Testament Christian. You've got to have that yoke upon your neck. And you've got to learn about Me. Why do we have to learn about Him? He's the master teacher, right? He's the one that is our example. 1 Peter 2 verse 21. He's the one that Ephesians 5 verse 1 that the Apostle Paul says to be ye followers of Christ as dear children. I want you to think about what that means. If I'm going to learn about Jesus and learn to do what He does, Paul says, I want you to do that like a child does. I want all of you daddies to think just for a moment. Think about those little boys that you had. Can you remember back when you had a little boy and that little boy wanted to put on your boots? And maybe you wanted to put on your hat? And that little boy wanted to say what you said? And he wanted to act like you acted? And he wanted to maybe sit where you sat and eat what you eat? And you mamas, you remember your girls did the same thing? Maybe they put on your high heels and they wanted your jewelry and your makeup. Why? Because they wanted to be like you. They wanted to learn from you. They wanted to imitate you. And I understand that our children, they want to do that when they're little. But then when they grow up, they don't want anything to do with us, right? But Jesus says, I don't want you to be like that. He says, I want you to follow Me and imitate Me like a little child. He says, I want you to always try to be like I am. Jesus says, I am your example. Again in 1 Peter 2:21. And that word example means a writing copy. He is writing the writing at the top of the page, and my life is to try to mimic that writing, to do it just like He did. Well, if I'm going to learn of Him, if I want my burdens to be lifted, if I want my life to be better, and I think about that same list, what do I have to learn? Well, when it comes to sin, I understand that there's only one that can forgive my sin, right? And I understand that celebrities and other people say there's many ways to God, but you and I know Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. And the only way we gain redemption, Ephesians 1 verse 7, is through Him, and we gain access to His blood. We understand that we will never be able to remove the guilt, that sin from our lives, unless we learn about Him. And if you're not a New Testament Christian today, you've got to realize that. You will live in that sin. You will feel that hollow of guilt in the pit of your stomach until you learn about Jesus Christ. Until you learn about He came to this earth to defeat death, to defeat Satan, to give His life a ransom for many. His purpose was to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke 19 verse 10. He came to die for you and for me. He came to be the offering for our sin. And we've got to understand that. We've got to take full advantage of that. Man, that is worth everything under the universe. That freedom of guilt from sin. Jesus said, I'll make you free. I can make you free. But I understand most of us are Christians. And most of us have come to Christ. And most of us have gained freedom from sin, and at least we should have. But you know, sometimes we're still weighted down with burdens. Sometimes we have just overwhelming things in our life that are on top of us, and sometimes we don't know what to do about it. Sometimes we have doubts, don't we? You ever have doubts? You ever go through difficult times in your life and you see people around you, and maybe the people around you that are not New Testament Christians, and they're not living like you are trying to live, but yet things in their life are seemingly smooth. And sometimes we doubt, don't we? You know, and I think that's where John the Baptist was in the very beginning of this chapter. I think he was looking around at other people, and he had devoted his life to God. He'd given up everything. I mean, man, this guy lived out in the wilderness, and he didn't have anything what we would say good, but he devoted his life. And now here he is. He's sitting, and he's awaiting his death. He's got doubts. He's got struggles. And you realize this invitation is... it's still to John, too. You realize when John, you know, had that weight of burden of doubt on his shoulders, Jesus didn't come back and say, man, what is wrong with you? No. He wanted to help him. And he is the only one that could help him, and he's the only one that can help you and I today, because sometimes I doubt. Sometimes I look around and see other people and other things, and sometimes we have just that seed of doubt planted in our mind. Sometimes I hear things that other people teach, and it causes me to perhaps doubt just a little, which in turn causes me to study even deeper and reinforce my faith. But you see, that all comes back to learning of Him, because He's the only one that's going to help us to overcome this. He says people deal with unbelief. Unbelief. Sometimes even Christians deal with unbelief. You remember the guy that his daughter was sick and died? And he come to Jesus and he says, Lord, would you heal my daughter? And I'm paraphrasing, of course. And Jesus says, I can do that if you believe. And he says, Lord, I believe, but what? Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe in you and I know you are who you say you are, but Lord, help my unbelief. You know, sometimes I say the same thing. Lord, I believe you. I know you are who you are. But sometimes we just, and it comes back to doubt. It comes back to sin and Satan and things creeping into our lives. And sometimes we need to realize, I've got to go back to Him. I've got to learn more about Him. I've got to grow more in my faith and all of these things, because that's the only way I'm going to get past that and get to the point of peace in my life. People that are filled again with poverty and they want to overcome that, coming to Christ and being a Christian is not necessarily going to help you to be wealthy and rich. That's not what it's about. But doesn't the psalmist say, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread? Doesn't he say that? He says, if you'll do what's right, God will take care of you. Doesn't Matthew chapter 6 say that the Lord will provide? The Lord will provide the things that we need. It may not be everything that we want. But you see, when I find myself in that point and I'm struggling and I'm worried and I'm all of these things, I've got to come back and I've got to learn. He says He's with me. And He says He won't forsake me. And He says He'll give me my very basic needs. We deal with things like sickness and grief and we don't know what to do. And we had a lesson over that a few months ago about the Lord won't leave us and the Lord's going to be there for us through all of it. And we talked about David and we talked about all the grief that he endured and how he overcome it by realizing that the Lord was his shepherd. He realized he'd come to that point in his life that he says, "But I've got to get up. I've got to realize who God is. I've got to understand that Jesus is there for me. And the only way I'm going to do that is I've got to open my book and I've got to learn about Him." We've got people that are suffering and they're worried about so many things. And I want to work this into this lesson. I had someone ask me several weeks ago, says, "You know, I've got loved ones in my life, and man, my loved ones are going down the wrong path, and you know, they're doing things and practicing things and worshiping in ways that I don't agree with and the Bible doesn't agree with, and what do we do? What do we do? How do we help them?" And is that a serious concern? You better believe it is. I've got people in my life right now that I love that are doing the wrong things. And they're worshiping in the wrong way. And they're living a life that is not what Christ would have them to live. And what do I do about it? Well, I want to see what He did about it. What did He do about it? Well, He would talk to people, right? And even when people were in the wrong and people were struggling and people were just not where they needed to be, I want you to think about the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. You remember that? And all of these Jewish people, they catch her and they bring her in before Jesus and they throw her down there and say, "Hey, you know, this woman was in adultery." And they're expecting Him to man bring the hammer down and say, "That's it, you deserve death, get her out of my sight." But what did He do? The Bible says He stooped down and he rolled on the ground with His finger. And He told him, He says, "He who is without sin, you go ahead and you throw a stone at her first." What happened? They began to leave. The oldest first, all the way down to the youngest. Because each one of them understood that, especially the older ones, they had a lot in their life that they had done and it's not pleasing. And all the way down to the youngest, but that's not the point of what I'm saying. The point was when Jesus raised His head up, and no one was left there save the woman. What did He say to her? He says, "Where are your accusers?" She says, "They're gone." He says, "I'm not going to condemn you." He didn't say what she was doing was okay, though, did He? No. And you and I have got to understand that. We can never condone sin. We can't extend a right hand of fellowship, and we understand that. From 2 John, He says, "If anyone comes and teaches not the things you've heard of me, you don't bid him Godspeed." We can't do that, and Jesus didn't do that. He says, "I'm not going to condemn you, but you've got to go and sin no more. You've got to stop this practice that you're doing, and you can't be that. And I've got to learn that in my life. I've got to come to people with love in my heart, but yet I can't back down from truth." You know, the woman at the well in John chapter 4, Jesus encounters her, and on occasion there He says, "Where's your husband?" And she says, "I don't have a husband." Jesus calls her out, right? She's in the wrong. She's doing things that are not right. She's living in adultery. And Jesus says, "You've rightly spoken that you have no husband." He says, "Because you've had five. And the one you've got right now does not belong to you." He was kind to her, but yet He was firm. And He never backed down from the truth. You know, when you and I, we worry and we fret and we get all excited, and we do, and I do too, about all these people in our lives that we love so dearly, that we want to help so dearly. The only way I can truly help them is I've got to come to Jesus and I've got to learn how He did it. I've got to learn how He did it. Now, He had an unfair advantage on me. You say, how's that? He knew their hearts. He knew their hearts. He knew what they felt on the inside. He knew their motives, and you and I don't know that. And there was times in His life when He knew their motives and He knew that they were not seeking to do what was right. Man, I mean, He would call them out and call them out hard. He'd leave no holds barred. Woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, Matthew chapter 23. He would call them out and He was never afraid. And where things were wrong and He went in the temple and they were selling things, what did He do? He overthrew the tables. But the point is this, we always have to stand for truth. And we can never compromise on what we believe, even though maybe we love these people in our life. Even though we do not want to sever an earthly relationship, we've got to learn from Jesus and all the worry and anxiety that surrounds that. We have to overcome and be like Him. Be like Him. And stand on the book. Because He Himself says His words will judge us. John 12:48. And so if I think about that worry and that anxiety in my life, how do I overcome it? Get in the book. Get in the book. And just be like Jesus. Everything in my life that I face and I deal with, if I just get in the book and be like Jesus, everything comes into place. I can get to that point in my life where I can be mature because I face these things. And I faced them, and in the back of my mind, if I'm where I need to be, I always ask that question, just like the little bracelets and things people used to wear. What would Jesus do? How would He handle this? What would He say? And if I'm living and walking after the Spirit, that's my first thought. What does Jesus say about it? What would He have me to do about it? Go to the next slide, please. Jesus says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Go to the next slide. What does that mean? That means I need to learn to have a mind of Christ. I need to learn to have the mind of Christ. When I think about meekness, I've told you guys this before. Think about meekness in the idea of an elephant. That elephant can take that trunk and push down a tree, but that elephant can also pick up one small peanut with that trunk. It's strength under control. Jesus had the power of the universe, but yet He didn't have to show that to every individual. He says, I'm meek. He says, I'm lowly. You know, a lot of people rejected Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, those people, I talked about this in the gospel meeting last week, those Jewish people, a lot of them rejected Jesus because of His lowly beginning, because of His lowly life, because of His lowly death. And they thought, man, this is not the guy that we want. But Jesus is showing His humility. And do you realize in James chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says if we will just humble ourselves in the sight of God, God will lift us up. If we will deal with every situation the way Jesus did, but not only in the way that He did, but in the attitude that He dealt with it. You know, our lives is so much simpler. Go to the next slide, please. I found this quote. C.S. Lewis is giving credit for it, but I think the Bible is already teaching this way before him. He says, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking that you are a nobody, that you're not worth anything, but it's simply thinking of yourself less. You ever thought about that? You realize a lot of our problems in this life could be solved if we would just simply learn to think of ourselves less. Because you realize the humility of Christ, that is exactly what it was. He wasn't thinking of Himself. It says the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to what? But to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. He didn't think He was a nobody, but He simply thought of Himself second to everyone else. And that's how I become happier in my life. And I'm not so self-consumed. Go to the next slide. He says, if I'll get to that point in my life, I'll truly find rest for my souls. Next slide. You see, it comes back to Jesus is quoting from Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah it says, "Stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for the souls." If we'll just go back to the old ways, the way God said for it to be, things are so much easier. My time is swiftly gone. Go to the next slide. The last thing he said, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." One more slide. What does he mean by that? My yoke is easy. Does he mean it's easy to be a Christian? Well, no, not necessarily. Because it's hard to be a Christian. It's not hard to understand how to be a Christian. It's not hard to understand the benefits and all of those things. Those things are easy. But what Jesus is trying to teach these people here that have been living under the law of Moses, that was a yoke of bondage. It was so heavy that they could never keep everything the way it should be. Jesus is saying, it's not like that anymore. He says, I'm not like that. You are living under a law of grace now. You are living under a law where there is true forgiveness. We are living under a covenant that has the blood of Christ. And that's why he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because you can have forgiveness anytime you want it. You can make a few mistakes here and there, a few hiccups. And as long as you're walking in the light and you continually confess those things, it's no problem. He says, I will continue to forgive those things. Under the covenant that we live in, we can know we're going to heaven, 1 John 5, verse 13. We can have a full assurance in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. We've got so much blessings in this life that we should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Do you realize there is no reason any one of us today should be overcome with burdens? We've got the answer to all of life's questions in front of us. We've got the Savior of the world, the Creator of everything that we know, and He is our mediator on the right hand of God, and He's on our side. 1 John 2, verse 2, He is our advocate. He's our heavenly lawyer. We have a multitude of blessings that are there that we can take advantage of if we will just simply as a people come to Him and learn of Him. I don't know about you, but man, that makes me feel good. That makes me feel blessed. But it also makes me feel ashamed that I don't take advantage of it all the time. And I want to ask you this morning, that's my last slide, have you come to Jesus? In an audience this size, more than likely there's one or more, maybe several people that are not New Testament Christians. Maybe you don't enjoy all of these blessings that we've talked about today. Because see, if you are outside of Christ, according to Ephesians 2 verse 12, you're an alien from the promises. You're a stranger and you have no hope. And that's a sad place to be. Sad place to be. But all you've got to do is decide in your heart this morning that you want to come to Him. That you want that weight of sin removed from your shoulders. You want to be completely forgiven. For Hebrews 10 verse 17, He will remember it no more. You can do that this morning. You can believe in Him with all your heart. You can be willing to repent, to change the way you think, to decide that you're going to turn from that sinful lifestyle and walk with Him. You can confess His name before us this very day and reenact that gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection in those waters of baptism. And you can become a Christian. You can come to Jesus today. Most of you have. But sometimes after we come to Jesus, we develop this mindset of, I can do it. You ever heard a little kid say that? I do it myself. I do it myself. Christians, we do that, don't we? I can do it myself. I can endure this myself. I can handle this myself. And I'm one of the world's worst, physically speaking, thinking I can do everything myself. But that's not how we need to be. So many things would be easier in our life if we would just lay them at the feet of our Lord. If we would just learn how He dealt with every situation and try to mimic the very things that He said and did in our life. Maybe you're struggling with that today. And maybe you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you need God to forgive you for thinking of yourself too much and not thinking about others enough. This morning, if there's something standing between you and God, if there's something keeping you from having that blessed assurance that He offers, make it right. Maybe you need prayers this morning. Maybe you're struggling in who knows what way. Maybe you're dealing with sickness and grief and anxiety. I don't know. But this is the place to bring it before the Lord, because He's the one that has the power to forgive and to make whole. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, why don't you come while together we stand and sing.